The following radio interviews were conducted by Tim Behrens of KJSL Radio in St. Louis during the July 2005 SDA General Conference. In this segment, we'll be speaking with Jan Brantley.
Good morning, Jan Brantley.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And say hi to all of our Seventh-day Adventist friends in St. Louis. They're here through July 9th. Would you like to say a word to them?
Well, I'm happy that you all are here, and I hope that I can be of some help to Seventh-day Adventists as a former Seventh-day Adventist, since I've learned so much after studying my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that my testimony will be able to help someone perhaps to look at it in a different light.
Let's take about 8 or 9 minutes to hear your testimony. When was it that you started questioning?
Well, I started questioning probably maybe a little over 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
about 2 years. And I questioned as a result of my husband studying the Bible. And I hadn't thought that there was any problem with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. As a matter of fact, I had grown up a pastor's daughter in a very, very strict home. At Seventh-day Adventists, we were taught that the prophet of the church, who was Ellen G. White, was basically the backbone of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grew up feeling that we had to be different from other Christians because we had a bit of an edge over everybody else because our prophet had a lot of extra information and laws and rules and regulations that we had to follow. And when I say strict, I mean really, really strict. An example would be we could only listen to Christian music, actually just hymns. We listened to hymns. Maybe
Paul Johnson singers?
Well, actually hymns from the hymn book.
Okay.
Heritage singers.
Yeah, right. Hmm. And maybe some classical music. We were not allowed to go to movies, no dancing, no card playing, no bowling. We basically could go to the playground. That was about it. We weren't allowed to do very much in the line of secular things. We were vegetarians. Actually, later on, I became vegan, and which is, you know, no milk, no eggs, no dairy, no cheese, no ice cream.
Wow.
And really strict. And
sounds like somebody who would work for Scientology. He's a vegan.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. Okay.
We digress.
Yeah. It was difficult, but I didn't know that there was anything wrong with it. As a matter of fact, I thought that this was all of God. I was totally clueless that the things that they were teaching were not supported by Scripture. And so I grew up feeling that, you know, I hate to admit this right now, but we felt like we were a little bit better than the rest of the Christian community,
mm-hmm.
because we had Ellen White, this prophet. And so we were taught that we listen to whatever she says, and the historic aspect of this was what I got into later after I became an adult. And historic Adventist is different from your traditional Adventist in that you follow the blueprint of the prophet more strictly. You have something called dress reform, and dress reform means that you dress, women dress in the long dresses to the ankles and don't show any skin anywhere, long sleeves. They're involved in health reform, which is the more strict aspect of the diet. They stress living without any sin at all, and they're taught that before Jesus comes, that we will be living on the earth without sin and without a mediator, mm-hmm. so we'll have to do it on our own. So we have to have already learned how to live sinless. And this was one of the biggest things in my life that I had to change because it gives you a feeling of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
I was never sure that I was saved. We were taught that we were never to say or even feel that we're saved. We just hope that in the end that we will be, but there's no assurance.
Wow.
So that's hard. That was very
hard. Yeah, it's almost like the Mormons, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. But you don't realize how bad it is until you get out of it.
Uh-huh.
And so I was totally clueless that there was a problem until my husband began studying. And when he began seeing some inconsistencies and some discrepancies between what we believed and what the Bible actually taught, he began getting really deep into a study that involved probably 4, 5, 6 hours a day of study of the Word. And he couldn't believe what he was finding, because it was so different. Because he, too, was a very strict Seventh-day Adventist. He's a fifth-generation Adventist.
Now, most people, when they start doing that kind of study, they get very angry. Maybe it's because they're thinking, well, what, if I was wrong all these years? What a waste. I'm not sure why, but did he react that way?
Well, actually, he was kind of quiet about it, because I was kind of the one that held up the study process. I was the one that was more angry, and I couldn't believe that he was even studying anything that would go against the prophet, that would go against our church. And so I refused to even study it. You have to understand, it's a fear factor involved here.
Mm-hmm.
You think that if you open your mind to studying anything that goes against your church, you feel that you're being deceived by Satan,
mm-hmm.
and you're so afraid. And I was so afraid that I might find something that would cause me to be deluded, be deceived, not understanding that I was the one that was already
mm-hmm.
confused.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But one day I decided that I really should study with him. I felt that it was wrong of me not to follow his lead, because he is such a sincere, godly man, and he was putting so much time and effort and energy into this studying process that I felt that I really needed to understand him, because I was afraid it was coming between us. Actually, it was. And so I began studying on my own, and to my horror, I couldn't believe what I was seeing in Scripture.
Mm.
I mean, these are things that were there all along,
mm-hmm.
but I had never seen them in that light. And I began to look at 1 John 5, where it talks about being assured of our salvation, and I just couldn't believe it. I saw the most common verse that I guess all Christians know and have probably memorized, which is John 3:16. I mean, it was so simple that
yeah.
if we believe on his name, we will be saved.
Now, when you come out of something, and I've seen this happen with some of our other friends that have come out of the cults, they've just kind of been limbo land there for a while. They don't really get into anything. Some never do, because they don't know who to trust from then
That's
on.
That's the sad part. I think once you realize that you've been deceived,
mm-hmm.
you become fearful of being deceived again.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid to come out of it, because we're taught that if we leave the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that we'll be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
It's very scary. And my husband and I, at first, didn't know what to do. We studied together. We just didn't go to church at all.
Mm-hmm.
But not because we were losing our faith, it was because we were gaining it.
Yeah, right.
We were studying, and we didn't know what the Lord had in store for us. But we just asked him to show us what to do, mm-hmm. where to go to church, and it was a difficult time.
What are relations like, especially since this has been a fairly recent thing with you,
yes.
with your family? Are you on speaking terms with or have they pretty well written you off?
No.
Initially, it was really hard to deal with this, because we knew that we had to tell our family members. And like I say, leaving the church is like leaving God
mm-hmm.
in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to figure out a way to tell them where they would understand that we're still Christians, we still love the Lord, but we've just discovered that our thinking has been inconsistent with Scripture. And so we tried with several of our family members, and to be honest with you, the response was quite negative.
Yeah.
You know, now my dad, who was an Adventist minister, was very ill at the time, and in fact, he passed away last year. So I never really had the opportunity to talk with him about it.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, I did, and she was just absolutely livid. I mean, she couldn't believe that we could turn our backs on
What did she say? What
well, she told us that we were being deceived and that we were no longer Christians, and that we would lose our souls. And other family members that we have since tried to share with have been have had pretty much the same response. Now, I do have a sister that also was studying at about the same time that I was, and she, even though she's still a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, she no longer believes in it at all. And I think that it's just a matter of time before she'll be leaving.
Would you lift up in prayer our Seventh-day Adventist friends who are listening? I mean, I know you have a real burden for them. We're going to hear your husband. We're going to hear your husband, Kenneth, Dr. Kenneth Brantley, share his testimony tomorrow at 7:40. He's a fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
And his mother knew Ellen White, Ellen G. White.
His grandmother. His grandmother.
Okay.
That's right. And he was so steeped into it. He was actually more involved in it in the church than I was, in more of an open way, because he's more of a public figure. But I was just more of a background, trying to do right, trying to obey the Lord Adventist.
Go ahead and lift up our Seventh-day Adventist friends.
Yes, I will. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning we bring with burdened hearts ourselves to you, because we want so desperately to follow you and to understand your word and what you have told your people. And we just feel so burdened because so many of our Christian friends and sisters and brothers in the Adventist Church do not understand that they're following another gospel. And they're sincere, and there's so many that really believe that they have the truth. And they believe that if we don't follow this prophet, that we'll be lost. But, Lord, they don't understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just thank you so much for opening up our eyes to see that we had been deluded and deceived, and that we had no understanding whatsoever of what the new covenant of Jesus Christ means in our lives. And we just thank you that you've brought us from darkness into this marvelous light. And we pray that our sisters and brothers will have a better understanding of you and what your death on the cross really, really meant to us. And we know that it's not by works. It's not by anything that we can say or do. It's not by anything that any of us can do, but it's what you've already done. And you did it for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Help us to really, really get it and open our eyes so that we'll see the truth of your word. Thank you so much for others who have come out of this deception, and bless those who are just learning that they've been deceived. Lord, give them the grace, give them the power, give them the strength to understand your word and to understand you. And thank you so much for what this has meant to me personally, for what it has done for my marriage, for my relationship with my husband, and most of all, for my relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, and we ask you to bless once again all of those who are seeking to come out of this, and that they will have the presence of your strength and of your power in their lives. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for hearing our prayer. In the blessed, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jan, tomorrow at 8:40, Friday morning at 8:40 our time, we're going to be talking with Walter Ray, the author of The White Lie. Now, I understand that 80% of Mrs. White's work is plagiarized. Would that be a good book to get to our Seventh-day Adventist friends?
Oh, absolutely. 80 to 90%. It's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yes, that book is was published back in the early 80s, but it was very helpful to me to understand the problem with the prophet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's called The White Lie, and you can get a 20% discount at Lay Renewal. Walter Ray is spelled R-E-A, R-E-A. And the good website for our Seventh-day Adventist friends to go to would be what?
Oh, there's so many. A good website would be J. Mark Martin. J. Mark Martin.
Martin.
He has one of the best that I know of.
Okay. jmarkmartin.org?
.org, I believe it's .org. Okay. And there's another one, Truth or Fables.
Okay.
That's excellent.
Truth or Fables.
Truth or Fables.
Is that .org, too?
www.truthorfables.org. fables.org.
Is it fables with an S?
F-A-B-L-E-S, like a fable.
Good, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Finger, yeah. That's a great one.
Very
there's
good.
There's one called DoveNet. Oh, there's so many
okay.
out there now.
All right.
Ex-Adventist.
Okay.
Very good.
Life Assurance. Jan Brantley, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're quite welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.